you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, you know what? I'm not in love with your fandom. You treat my daughter with respect. You can root for whoever you want. Yeah. You can call me whatever you want, whatever that gif is or that meme. It's great. So it's interesting. We were talking about last night, because this is another, you know, story point. We're trying to get you guys and ladies and fans and everybody that listens to this show. We appreciate you on 96.5 The Fan. You know, it's a marathon, right? Like, you got to get there. You got to get to Friday. You don't want to just sprint. Like, people are on the text line, does Dusty have a curfew in New Orleans? No, I have trust, right? Like, you know, I know what I got to do. I know when I got to be up, when we got to be here. Definitely not as early as we thought today. We kind of overshot it. But, hey, what do they tell you? Better early than late, yeah. Right? So it's interesting because you look at last night, we're talking about this, and one of the sub-storylines and one of the lines that you'll probably hear more when you watch the national shows that start to wake up and come out here is – Philadelphia's roster is loaded. It's a better full-on, and some people will disagree with this, but some people, they will say that the Philadelphia roster from top to bottom is better than the Kansas City Chiefs, and they will start to, you know, go through it. D-line Philly, D-line Kansas City. Hate to bring it to you, they're going to favor the Philadelphia Eagles D-line over the Kansas City Chiefs. O-line versus O-line. Now, if those guys are injured, it's not even close, but they will favor the Philadelphia Eagles offensive line above the Kansas City Chiefs. They will favor the receivers, the running backs, the cornerbacks, and they will say, yeah, well, the Chiefs don't have two awesome quarterbacks. They have one and a decent guy. They have a good offensive line. They have a good defensive line, but they will say that Philly's is better. That's fine. And that's I will listen to that all day, and I can nitpick from wherever I want to go from there. But the one thing that Philadelphia doesn't have is the most important part of the rosters. And when you dissect games and you get ready to play them, one of the first and most important things you can do is say, who's coaching and who's playing quarterback? And the Chiefs in Philadelphia couldn't be more opposite on the sides of advantage versus disadvantage than Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, than Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. You can have the overall roster, that's fine. I'll take the two most important roster spots when it comes to a full roster.
And it's interesting that, like, people aren't looking at it that way, because usually when you do matchups, and this is the way that I've been for a very long time and why I'm so bullish on this Chiefs team, is because all they do is have a great quarterback and a great head coach, and that's what you need to win in the NFL. Philadelphia really has bucked the trend on that. Like, they've changed it up a little bit. Not that Jalen Hurts is bad and Nick Sirianni isn't a good coach. He is. He's been to two Super Bowls in 3 years. Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback. But because of the Saquon Barkley effect, I think those guys now have taken a back seat. And because I think Saquon Barkley is the guy that got that team over the hump and gave them what they needed to get here to the Super Bowl. Like, they don't have the best quarterback. They don't have the best head coach. But when you combine it with everything else on the roster, they're actually raising the Q rating of that coach and that quarterback, because everybody else around them is better. Now, with the exception of the running back position, which they are better than us at the running back
position. They're better than everybody in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, come on now. We're talking about Saquon Barkley. But, like, you could probably make an argument that maybe the names are more recognizable with Philadelphia, but that doesn't mean they're a better overall unit than the Kansas City Chiefs on offensive line or defensive line. Like, I don't know that Philly goes 8 deep, and I think that matters in a game like the Super Bowl. People are tired. People are gassed. The game is at a faster speed. Steve Spagnuolo beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl because he went 8 deep on the defensive line when he was the coordinator for the Giants that year and was able to get after Tom Brady and able to get after that offensive line. And so I think having 8 deep on the defensive line outweighs the names, if you will, that are on the defensive line for the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, Mike Dana is not a household name. But by God, Mike Dan is a football player, okay? Turk Wharton, not a household name. Turk Wharton comes up with big plays. You got a guy like George Karloftis, who's starting to become a household name. Charles Omenihu, obviously Chris Jones. I think people look at the defensive line for the Chiefs and they're like, well, Chris Jones is really the only name that I recognize, so they must not be good on the defensive line. No, they are really good on the defensive line. You just don't know a lot of the names because they're more role players. They're not superstars. They're not in the public as much as obviously a guy like Chris Jones or Jalen Carter or guys of that nature. But together as an entire unit, those eight guys just rotate in and they're always fresh and they're always ready to go and they're always ready to beat you. Like, Mike Dana is such a good football player that nobody talks about. That's why the Chiefs signed that guy in the offseason and paid him money, because he's a really good football player. And this offensive line has been nothing short of spectacular since they moved Joe Tooney to left tackle. And so you can talk about the offensive line having better names in Philadelphia, but the way that this Chiefs offensive line is playing right now, it's the best they've played maybe in years with the way that Joe Tooney has been at left tackle.
And that's fine. Let them all know who Charles Minnehue is after the game's over and the confetti is in the color of red and yellow.
Yeah.
And, you know, we remember the game against Philadelphia in 2022, right? What do you say, Mac? Philadelphia was considered the better roster?
Best roster in the NFL.
How'd that turn out?
Exactly.
But I think a lot of that, is just smoke and mirrors, and that's the narrative that people push because of Howie Roseman. I don't know how he got on this pedestal all by himself as the greatest general manager in the NFL, but that's the narrative, right? That's the perception that this guy, oh, my God, he walks on water and he does so many great things. How many rings does Howie Roseman have? But for whatever reason, the national media looks at him like he's boy wonder. He's a genius. Meanwhile, Brett Veach is over here going, yeah, we'll trade Tyreek Hill and be in the Super Bowl three consecutive years. Like, what has Howie Roseman done to have his Q rating higher than Brett Veach's? He plays in Philadelphia. He's probably a little more popular than his head coach is, you know, with the Philadelphia Eagles. But people act like that guy, like, invented, you know, rosters in the NFL. Like, I hate to break the news to you, the guy you're competing against has done a much better job at building rosters and sustaining success than what Howie Roseman has done in Philadelphia. I think this is a good general manager game, too. Will Brett Veach finally get the respect that he, I can say it, I've heard others say it. Boomer says it on WFAN. I almost said it. Will he finally get the GD respect?
GD respect.
Will Brett Veach get the GD respect that he deserves, or will we still be praising, Eagles lost, but God, Howie Roseman's a great general manager. Brett Veach wins another Super Bowl. Oh, let's talk about how great Howie Roseman built a roster and how good his march is. Like, eventually, like, we have to recognize what's going on here, and Brett Veach is head and shoulders above everybody else. But again, the narrative naturally is Howie Roseman's a boy wonder.
Martha, where are the GD garden lanterns? Dennis the Menace, 1994. Walter Matthau, RIP. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there was obviously the poll that came. This has been a while ago, but they had him as the best general manager in football. Brett Veach was number two, but
why?
You know.
Like, how could you even say that? Like, it's lies, it's deceit, it's misinformation, it's wow. it is. I mean, all the people.
That's
are here
another
now.
One yeah. I called.
Yeah, you did. You got that one early.
That's awesome. On a Monday morning.
On a Monday, ready to roll.
The people here will be awesome. Yeah. There, we will be doing our job around the clock, trying to find you information. But
like, why would people? Why would people vote Howie Roseman as the better general manager
why do
than
watch
Brett
that
guy's
show?
Right?
Content.
And nobody does. And look at the numbers. And here's the thing. Like Howie Roseman gets the credit because he's working with a coach who's perceived as the village idiot. Brett Veach is working with a coach that's considered the greatest head coach
of
all time. Yet people don't understand and don't want to understand that Andy Reid has ceded all of this to Brett Veach and his staff, and they go out there and they turn this roster over again. There's seven guys remaining from our first Super Bowl, and they still continue to win. If that doesn't tell you how great a player personnel department is and how great a general manager is, what more information do you need? They get better. They get rid of star players, and they get better as an organization.
Yeah, it is interesting because we talked about that last week, the window of opportunity. And Brett Veach and company just have an open house with an Attic fan on 24/7 in a nice fall weather because it just never stops. There's never a riff. There's never, you know, anything like that. Maybe we just keep enjoying this ride, not worry about it. So
yeah, and that's the thing. And like, Brett's not the guy who's out there, you know, jonesing for attention or anything like that. If he walked through the radio row, maybe a couple people. I think that may be Brett Veach or Howie Roseman walks in. You got the person like in Coming to America throwing rose petals out there and, you know, washing the royal penis and everything. Like, I mean, like, what are we doing here?
You can watch the show on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Twitch, presented by our partners at Technology Group Solutions, the official IT provider of your Kansas City Chiefs. Also, don't forget the big game coverage on 96.5. The Fan is brought to you by Community America Credit Union, member-owned, open to all, invested in you. Join today at communityamerica.com. Coming up on the other side, we will continue to dive into what this game means and what the trade in the NFL could mean for one Luka to the Lakers, what that trade comps to, what it would look like in the NFL, because what a devastating day for the Dallas Mavericks in the NBA. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Diving right back into it, don't forget tonight is the opening ceremony of the Super Bowl as both teams get to show themselves to the city of New Orleans, and all of us that get to stay there late night getting all the action is opening ceremony. Is there anybody that you think is going to bring it? Like, is there somebody that's – somebody's got to, like, kind of set the tone? Because I remember the last time they played this game was like – because it's tough, right, with the NFC, AFC. You don't really have a whole lot. But then you think about it and you
– right.
Well, these teams just played each other 2 years ago in this game. So some of these guys are – you said, you know, some of the guys still on the roster, not a whole lot. Obviously, Devonta Smith is on that roster. A.J. Brown was on that roster. Jalen Hurts on that roster. Sirianni was there. This is one of those type of games where it's like, okay, is this going to be, you know, are they going to let some things out? Or are Philadelphia going to be like, you know, we're going to be professional. We're just going to, like, you know, go through the motions. We're excited to be here. All the cliches. Or will somebody maybe, you know, drop that line? Let us know that, you know, there is a game on Sunday, and it's only Monday.
Oh, so you're looking like who's gonna be the S talker this week?
That's right.
Okay, because I was thinking, like, when you first started, like, who's gonna do something strange and bizarre? It's always somebody you're not expecting, right? Like, Patrick Mahomes isn't gonna walk out,
no,
do something strange, or Travis Kelce probably won't do something like that. Like, a Drew Tranquil kind of lines up for that, you know, like kind of a backup guy, you know, not one of the big name players. Like, those are the guys that tend the kickers sometimes will go out there, the punters. And do some fun stuff and have a good time. I look, nobody on the Chiefs is going to say anything that's going to be bulletin board material. I think we've all learned that over the years, right? Like, that just doesn't work in Andy Reid's playbook. And the only time that we've seen it recently was with Justin Reid a couple of years ago with the Cincinnati Bengals when he talked a little smack and Andy Reid put the kibosh on that and it was over. And they moved on, right? Like, that was kind of the only S talking that went on with the Kansas City Chiefs, really, since Andy Reid has been here. And look, when Tyreek Hill left, he started all the S talking everywhere else. So Andy doesn't allow that. The Chiefs are not going to give anybody bulletin board material. I don't know if you've watched the Four Falls of Buffalo.
It's on Netflix.
On 30 for 30 ESPN,
yeah, I saw it,
right?
Yeah.
I was watching it over the weekend, and it was interesting because there was some stuff that you don't know. You know, obviously you're watching something like, oh, I never do that. The Bills had an assistant coach that year when they played the Redskins in the Super Bowl. So I believe it was their second Super Bowl after they had lost to the Giants on the Scott Norwood. The following year they played the Redskins, right? And they had this offensive line coach who ultimately turned into a talk radio show host in Buffalo. And I can't remember the guy's name right now. It's irrelevant, right? But he was like an assistant offensive or defensive line coach for the Bills that year. And at media day, he started making fun of the Washington Redskins offensive line. They were known as the Hogs back then, right? And he was sitting there going, pig suey, and these guys are slobs.
Well, that's Arkansas.
And all this kind of nasty stuff, right? And so you go by the Hogs, obviously, it's going to be, you know, it's a fun nickname because you're offensive lineman. That was their moniker for all those years. Well, this guy on media day or whatever has started in on them, insulted them, made fun of them, and they went out there and destroyed that Buffalo defensive line. And the guys on the Buffalo team and the Washington team, I should say, the Redskins that year, they said, look, if this guy didn't do all the talking, we would have played good football, but that fired us up to the next level, and that was the reason we ended up winning this Super Bowl. Marv Levy fired that guy off his staff the day after the Super Bowl, and he never coached in the NFL again. And he went and became a talk radio host in Buffalo for the rest of his life. He had such a bad reputation the league.
Maybe it's time to move on.
Yeah, and Marv Levy's like, he goes, I've never hated a guy more ever than this guy, and I had to fire him because of how detrimental he was by saying stuff. And so people could sit around and say it doesn't matter, but it does. And if you give somebody a little bit of bulletin board material, as we know from Patrick Mahomes, guys, like, they're going to take that to the next level, and they're going to utilize that. And so if you're on the Philadelphia side of things, like, probably don't do anything that's going to poke the bear, because it will get back to the Chiefs and they will use that as motivation. We're all human beings. We all have that kind of next level in us. And if somebody's going to say something to us that's going to fire us up, we're going to use that as motivation.
Yeah, because I remember last year when Kelce got there, it was, you know, he was on the stage and he was like, boo, they were booing. He's like, oh, I hear the boos.
Right.
Like, they just kind of embraced it. It wasn't really like, you know, necessarily like some sort of like garbage talk towards the other person. It was just like, I'm just embracing what's the situation. Because I assume we're there tonight and waiting for the, you know, the whole thing to be over. Then maybe you get a couple interviews or something like that. I assume there will be a majority of boos. Again, I know last year when they played the Niners, they were in close to Niner country. It's not that far. It's closer than it is Kansas City. You've also got the Raiders there as well in Vegas. So I think there's a little bit more added to it. So I am kind of interested to see what the reaction is from the crowd-wise.
Yeah, sure.
To see what happens when the Chiefs, because it'll be the Eagles will come out first, and then the Chiefs will come out second, and then it's a free-for-all of all that sort of stuff.
Right, right.
So,
absolutely. Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see like what that sort of reaction is, because tonight, a lot of people don't go to the game, but they go to the venues and they go to the things they can go to if they want.
Yeah, I think it's like a $25 ticket to get into media night tonight, and it's in the dome, and you get to be part of, you know, everything that's going on. You watch it on NFL Network or whatever channel they're televising this thing on tonight, and, you know, it is the free-for-all. I mean, it is the night where the reporters dress crazy, they ask the crazy questions, the kid report, you know, all of that stuff that you see from Super Bowl week, all of that goes on tonight. And again, it's nothing new for the Kansas City Chiefs. It's nothing new, really, for the Philadelphia Eagles. So I don't think it's anything that's going to get out of hand. You just hope, if you're the head coach of either of these teams, that you've prepared your guys enough to say, hey, shut the F up, don't say anything, and let's play this game on Sunday without giving people the opportunity to go out there and use it as motivation. Because once I watched that thing on Saturday about the Bills, I'm like, damn, I didn't realize we could have that kind of impactful type of, you know, firing up by an offensive line coach sitting at lunch going, these guys are slobs, they're drooling from the mouth, and they're like, screw you, pal, we're going to go out there and kick your ass, and they did.
I still think it's funny that clip from, I think it's Peyton Manning from the Pro Bowl, where he's like, yeah, our idiot kicker over here. I was like, hell yeah, dude.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Like that's call him out.
The assistant offensive line coach and the kicker, like, go back to bed. You can't really do much here but mess things up. And so,
I still love that audio clip.
Yeah.
Our idiot kicker over there, Vander Jackson, drunk. You know, like, basically is what he's saying. Like, well, if you're going to get thrown under by Peyton, you pretty much might as well, like, go somewhere else.
And Vander Jack's like, now I want to be in the Colts Ring of Honor. Right, and they're like, nah, I don't think that's gonna happen, man. Like Peyton Manning got to give his blessing before you can be in the Colts Ring of Honor. But I don't like your Harrison Butker's not gonna do that. The punter's not gonna do that. The long snap, like, guys aren't going to do that kind of stuff to go out there and set the world ablaze. The Chiefs, as we know from a media standpoint, are a very boring football team.
Very boring
football team from a media standpoint. Keep it that way. This is the perfect week to be vanilla and boring and say nothing. Let Philadelphia do the talking, but I don't even think Philadelphia, unless like A.J. Brown decides to say something, but nobody's going to ask him about the game. It's all going to be about what books he reads.
Yeah, just sugarcoat or beignet the questions that are like, well, what do you think about a legacy? Yeah, I mean, I think it's great.
Yeah.
Like, okay, awesome. Speaking of legacies, there was a legacy style of trade in the NBA. Bob, I don't know how to explain this without maybe sounding over the top, but this is one of the trades in recent time that I can honestly say, like, holy cow. Like, it's one of those things where, like, I think it has that reaction. I think it merits that reaction because there are so many different facets of this Luka Doncic trade to the Lakers. And I know people be like, I don't want to hear about the NBA. It's the biggest news that happened this weekend. And, in fact, if it was week 9 of the NFL season and this trade came out, it would still be the biggest news because you don't have to follow the NBA, but you know who Luka Doncic is, right? Everybody knows who this kid is. You don't have to follow the NBA and know who the Lakers and the Dallas Mavericks are. We all know who those teams are. It's the fact that, like, when this trade happened, you look at one side and you're like, the hell are they doing? And then you look at the other side and you're like, I know exactly what they're doing. One side is saying our superstar and our leader is phasing out of the NBA. We know this because his damn son's playing in the NBA, which means if you're playing in the NBA at the same time that your son is, one of
life
very
obvious,
And so
it's coming to an end.
The Lakers look at this and a typical bust type of trade, right? Like, this is what she does, this is what the family's done, like, make a big splash. they brought in LeBron. They paid Kobe. Shaq, they brought Kobe. In Shaq. They brought all these guys in. Now, Kobe obviously was a draft day trade, but whatever. And you look at, you know, what they did with their franchise. Whenever their franchise starts to kind of trickle down and people start to disbelief in the Lakers, they go do something. And this is something where not only did they get the NBA to talk, it got the entire sports world to talk. And there's no shyness away of what's going on this weekend. Mm-hmm. The Super Bowl is happening this weekend. And everybody on Monday, I walked around just to, like, kind of, you know, cherry pick off what everybody's. Four out of the five booths that I walked by, not a whole lot because there's not a whole lot of people here yet, was Lakers, Luka, Mavericks.
Yeah, because it's such a big, it's a big, you know, pop culture topic as well. And you know, the trade for me doesn't register. I'm not an NBA fan. I'm like, okay, let's look into this one, right? Like, let's dive deep into this one. Mm-hmm. And the first comment that I saw from the Lakers was, we got a global superstar. And immediately I'm like, okay, here's what we're doing. We're trying to grow our global brand. It's all about growing the brand, getting more of the market share. But America's tapped out when it comes to sports. And so now all these teams and organizations and leagues are trying to grow their brand outside the United States of America. There's no secret in that, right? The Chiefs own Germany, right? So we're sitting here watching this trade go down, and then the first comment from the Lakers is, we've acquired a global superstar. And immediately I went, oh, okay, this is why they're growing their brand. They know LeBron ain't going to be here forever, and that's a good take by you to say, hey, they're moving forward, because that's what the Chiefs did with Tyreek Hill. It's the same type of trade where you wake up and you go, oh, my God, they traded somebody that is so good. Why did they do that, right? Well, they did that to try to increase their brand globally with Luka, because he's an international player. They'll sell jerseys, T-shirts, all that kind of stuff. They'll make a boatload of cash. But also the other flip side is, the end is coming faster for LeBron James. And when he does walk away, now you're not missing a beat. Now you're not mired in the likes of, I don't know, the Sacramento Kings and the Portland Trailblazers, where you lose a star and it's all over. You've replenished. You've already backfilled for that star. And that's what Brett Veach does so wonderfully. He's always backfilling. So when Nick Bolton or Tre'Varius Ward or Tyreek Hill or whoever walks away, the next guy is already there in the fold, and you don't miss a beat. It really is a beautiful move from that standpoint on the Lakers. I got to know, though, man, what was the underlying thing in Dallas? I got to know what the more to the story is, because if you're Dallas, you don't trade a guy in his prime that helped you to the NBA Finals for a guy that's 31 years old unless there's something there. And that's what I got to find out. What prompted Dallas to do this trade? Because from their standpoint, you're right, it does not make sense at all. But what's the underlying factor to it? There's got to be something there.
There's definitely some sort of something in the, because they're fat shaming Luka media wise, saying, yeah, like, oh, he's 270, couldn't lose weight, maybe fat shaming is a little strong on my part, but there's definitely weight issues, and the way he kind of trains, like, if he could just, like, you know, diet and work out, and it's been known, like, from around the league that, like, he's not super huge into it. Like, he's just like, my skill set's fine. Like, my body's fine. He's, you know, NBA Finals last year. So the Luka thing is,
I mean, Patrick Mahomes plays with a dad bod.
Right. But, again, they fat shame Patrick Mahomes.
I know.
It's like, how am I losing to this guy? That's right. It's like, because you do? Like, I don't know.
Like, some people's bodies are just what their bodies are, and no matter what they do, they're never going to be an Adonis, right?
Like,
right?
Paul Pierce is, like, the king of that take. Like, Paul Pierce was, like, the chubby athletic dude that you're like, yeah, you're not, like, defined, but, like, you're not fat.
Right.
Like, I don't know.
The best player in the league is fat. Nikola Jokic is going to be a top 10 player of all time. He's not in shape.
Yeah, but he's also 7 foot and can do every single skill set there is. But, again, to your point, like, Giannis is, like, a Greek freak. Why? Because he is that big and that ripped and that shredded. We're like, that's just freakish. That's not normal.
But you know how many people I've seen that look great as an athlete that aren't good players in
that's
sports?
Very true.
I mean, you see it all the time.
Oh,
you know, you see these guys like, well, God, that guy should be so good. And then he's like, you know, a zero. You know,
right.
Like, so to me, like, the whole body shaming thing, I
that's
understand.
That's one of them. That's one of your underlining.
I mean,
the other thing is ownership. There was a scene last year where they went to the Western Conference Finals and Luka was drinking a beer and the owner came over and, like, took it out of his hand. He's like, the hell?
Yeah.
Like, what? We're not celebrating? He's like, not you. So, like, that's kind of one of those things where, like, we watch all these Netflix and you go back and you look and see if you can find the smoking gun and the crime scene. And it's like,
but where did that come from? Why did they take the beer away from him then? Why didn't they like him back then? Like, what is the real reason that Dallas gave up? Like, I understand, like, if you trade Tyreek Hill, you still have Patrick Mahomes. You're still in a great spot with your organization.
Oh, yeah.
Why did Dallas do what they did? And I know the GM has said AD plays defense and, you know, Luka doesn't, whatever the case may be. Nobody's going to watch defense in professional basketball. You really have to do a good job, if you're the Mavericks, of spinning this and justifying to your fans why you decided to trade him. And you almost have to, if you're Dallas, and I hate to say it this way, kind of go on a smear campaign to let your fans know, because if you're a Mavericks fan today, you're probably not waking up with a lot of trust for your organization. Just like I'm sure when Tyreek was traded, there were a lot of Chiefs fans that didn't wake up with a lot of trust of the Chiefs organization. Going, oh my God, what are they doing? Because I remember listening to people for weeks.
But he doesn't have the clout that like Luka has. Like, this would be one thing where like you woke up the next morning and like Patrick Mahomes is gone.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? Like, the hell? Like, this, to me, and maybe this is an egregious take, but, like, if I was, like, a 10-year-old Dallas fan, 15-year-old, between that window, I'm no longer a Dallas fan. I have pictures of Luka in my room. I have a jersey of Luka Doncic, and you didn't give me anything to kind of get excited for, right? This isn't the Clinton Portis and Champ Bailey trade, where both teams, like, benefited with, like, guys in their primes. Like, Clinton Portis was, I don't know, 25, 26, still had a lot of gas left in the tank. Champ Bailey obviously came over to Denver. We know how good he was against us for all those years.
Right.
But this was more so like you traded Josh Allen for Matthew Stafford. Like, Josh Allen got you to the AFC Championship game again. Well, he didn't beat Patrick Mahomes. He's, I don't know. And we're going to go get a guy that we know it's won and is aging, but he's good still, and he can get us a couple years. Like, when you do the say-it-out-loud test in this trade, it just does not make sense.
Right.
Because, like, even if you – I think I saw a funny meme on this morning that had, like, NBA 2K. And it was, like, Luka to first for AD to the Lakers. And it was, like, absolutely not trade voided. And, I mean, Luka loses money in this deal. So I'm with you to a certain extent to where, like, he did something in Dallas or there was some sort of story in Dallas where they just – absolutely hate each other, butted heads, whether it was family, whether it was like being a, you know, prima donna or a diva, whatever it was. But you just don't like let a guy like that go for what you got back.
Well, and that's the thing. The return on investment wasn't great. You say Luka loses money. I'll disagree with you because now you're a Laker. And being a Laker opens the doors to everything else.
I guess I meant so in the max contract.
Yeah, right. So, yeah. Like from that standpoint, right. Salary standpoint, yes. Patrick Mahomes loses money in his contract.
Right.
But he makes it up on the back end. He makes it up with those endorsements. And I know you guys are NBA fans. Ain't nobody knows who the Dallas Mavericks are, but everybody knows who the Los Angeles Lakers are. And that's like the Yankees. That's like the Chiefs. That's like the Lakers. You know, those are your premier teams in sports. Across the world, everybody knows who the Los Angeles Lakers are. And now you've got this global superstar on the Lakers. Luka's going to cash in from a global aspect of money and endorsements all over the world that he couldn't get when he was playing for the Dallas Mavericks because their uniforms suck and nobody really knows anything about him except for Mark Cuban.
I kind of like their jerseys.
Do you?
Yeah, I like that blue-green. I don't know what it is.
They just came, one, like, yeah. I like the old, like, green Mavericks
with, like,
jerseys.
With the little cowboy
hat. Yeah.
The little hat, yeah.
Those are cool. But, like Dallas, I don't know, their uniforms just don't
Am I the only one also, maybe this is our age group, Bob, where, like, Dallas was the first team you played on NBA Jam because they sucked? Like, you always played Dallas
you
first.
Did, yeah.
It was always, like, Jason Kidd and, like, Leitner as the Mavericks, or, the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah.
And then you got to pick whoever you want, but you always had to play the Dallas Mavericks first.
Yeah, Dallas.
In NBA Jam, it was always Jason freaking Kidd. Man.
It's a nondescript team when it comes. Like, there's most of the teams in professional sports to this day are nondescript teams. And if you play for one of these teams that is a global brand, you're so much better off as an athlete for what you can accomplish.
Let it come out that Kyrie manipulated this whole thing because him and Jason Kidd, I guess, are tight.
Yeah, well, and apparently Jason Kidd didn't even know about this.
And Kyrie doesn't like LeBron.
Right.
And he's like, well, maybe I don't like Luka because he's a diva and I want to run the team and I want to be the alpha. So I'm going to send him to LeBron and let him deal with it. Watch this. And then out of nowhere, it's like the dark horse of the trade. It's like, Kyrie the whole time is the one that got this thing set off, and then that would blow the sports world.
Oh, that would absolutely.
Then I'd be like, all right, the Super Bowl can wait.
Yeah.
Like, we're doing this. I just still could not believe that trade. Like, I woke up, Mac, Saturday night, and I was like, I mean, I know I'm not supposed to be awake right now, but is this real?
It's insane, man.
I was like, I'll look at it again tomorrow. I don't know.
Yeah.
I was talking to one of our Odyssey guys over at Dallas, and he was saying, yeah, I was talking to some people with the Mavericks. You know, he's got his own personal trainers. He's got his own group, and apparently they don't push him hard enough, and they're not making him cut weight. They're not giving him a good nutrition.
Average 26 and 10 a game?
I don't care. I'm just like, cool, whatever. Make it your life. Get a food psychologist. Yes.
Like until the results aren't there, leave him alone.
Babe Ruth could have hit 70 if he wasn't hitting cigs and drinking bourbon in the dugout.
I mean, what Mickey Mantle always said, like how great a player he could have been if he wasn't drunk all the time.
That's
also
true.
I mean, so you look around at a lot of these guys and the way that they go about their life. If they're dropping 20 and 10 every night, or throwing for 300 yards, or cranking 50 homers a year, or you know, pitching perfect games or whatever it is, who cares what they're doing? It's working for them. And I know we're in like this weird sports science age where everything's magnified and everything's talked about body wise, food wise, and all the studies and stuff that work out there, and that's wonderful and we should have it. But a lot of times stuff doesn't work for everybody.
It's a stat.
It is. but a lot of times, you know, it just doesn't work for anybody. And if Luka were to shed 30 pounds, maybe he's not the same type of player that he is right now. Like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, man.
No doubt about it. Coming up on the other side, we'll dive more into what this game means for the Kansas City Chiefs legacy-wise and some New Orleans stories of what we had last night. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. All right, we're back here on 96.5 The Fan, live from Radio Row in New Orleans, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Kansas City is geared up for their third straight title, and Academy Sports Once and Outdoors has everything you need and want to rep your team during this historic run. We're joined by Hugh Douglas. Damn glad to have you.
Hey,
thanks for sitting down.
Fellas?
Hey,
how
man, not
doing?
Much. You damn near broke my hand when you shook it, so I'm still trying to recover from
you know
that.
What? Seriously, I try not to be that guy does that.
Yeah. Don't worry, man.
Like, I'm not trying to be
that's what's wrong. I tried to be that guy, but here's former defensive lineman. Stand your ground, Dusty. Broken.
I'm not that guy.
Like an oyster that got shucked last night. My hand is completely shucked.
I apologize.
No, don't be sorry. You're just a man.
He gulped his hand. He's like, oh, my God. This is the biggest handshake ever.
He's massive. Dude, no, serious question. The Luka trade, what'd that do for you? Because it's a huge topic.
Is it a big topic in Philly today,
no,
Hugh?
No, listen, can I tell you?
Yeah.
Because we got in last night. Yeah. And, you know, when you come to New Orleans the first day, you're kind of you've indulged a little bit.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if it was real or not. Like, I had to wake up
this morning. You were
one-eyed
squinting it like.
Yeah, I'm looking like, and I'm like, wait a minute. You traded AD for Luka. And I was like, wait a minute, seriously?
Yeah.
And LeBron's still there?
That's
yeah,
right.
That's right.
And didn't know about it.
I don't believe that.
I was just saying, I don't know.
I don't believe that. Like, I'm still processing it because I woke up this morning, like I said, just to make sure that the news was real. Because Luka's a really young player, really good player.
25.
Mm-hmm. And they got rid. I was like, wow.
25 for a 31-year-old. Right. So there's got to be something, right? You've been in locker rooms. Like, there's got to be something there, right? You're kind of smirking at me.
No, because I can't say what I'm thinking.
Because I was thinking the same thing, and you know exactly what
I'm
it
like,
is,
I
right?
Can't think I'm like, because normally that makes no sense.
Right.
And that's why I'm sitting there looking, and I'm like, who knows who that has dirt on who?
Uh-huh.
You know, somebody, because I just, you never see anything like that happens with the younger guy.
No.
Because I know a few years ago when I was in Atlanta, there was a talk about Trae Young being a Laker and that potentially happening. You know, him and Luka are kind of tied at the hip as far as, you know, that history and everything. So I just thought it was surprising. And it just, you know how it is. I try not to be so knee-jerky when you see something like that. You try to process it and workshop it a little bit.
Right.
But, yeah, I was surprised. I was just like, wow.
Yeah, stunned. Like, from the Dallas standpoint, you're like, why did they make that move?
From
the Lakers standpoint, you know exactly why they made that
move. Yeah,
they
need to get younger.
Deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, get younger. So, were you ever, like, when you played in the NFL and you played for Andy in Philadelphia, now you're hosting in WIP and whatnot, as an athlete, did you ever wake up when you were playing and go, oh, my God, we made that move? What the hell?
Well, you kind of wonder. You kind of wonder what's going on. And you try to workshop it to see what is the reasoning behind it. Because there's, you know, as a fan and as a co-host, you try to be as informative as you possibly can. And you try to workshop your way through it and figure out how does this piece fit and things like that. But this move, it's just like it's a lot of workshopping that needs to be done when I think about that.
Yeah, no question. So we're workshopping the game. We're here on Monday. Obviously, by the time the week ends, we'll all be tired of talking about how Saquon Barkley's the X factor.
Saquon Barkley.
Can you spell Eagles, by the way?
Is that... You know, listen. me and my partner Joe, we were on the air last week, and we were talking about it. And I'm not gonna lie, I spelled it wrong.
Okay.
And that's why when you asked me to do it, I'm a little reluctant because yeah, it's a little intimidating now.
Right.
Because when you see the mayor messing up names, and you know we got Shayshawn Broccoli now.
Yeah.
So it's like
hell of a side.
Yeah. Shayshawn
Broccoli.
Yeah. I'm gonna stay away from that a little bit. I'm gonna try to stay away.
E-L-G-S-E-S.
Look at you, spelled it wrong too. See, that's what I'm saying. It's a little intimidating, man. It's a little intimidating.
Ding. All right, spelling bee out.
Yeah. So how's Philly viewing this game? I know how we're viewing this game. How you all viewing this?
No, listen. I get on the air every day, me and my partner, and Philly fans are rabid fans. They've been riding with this team all year long. And so far, we've had people say, oh, the Eagles are going to blow them out 50-7. I was like, hold up, cuz. Seriously.
Yeah.
I understand your enthusiasm, and I appreciate it. I do think that the Eagles have a chance to win this game. I think they win this game, but it's not going to be a blowout. It's not. Kansas City didn't come all this way to lay down and just – you know, relent to the Eagles. That's not going to happen. This is a really, really good football team. It's going to come down to one of the quarterbacks making a play probably at the end of the game. And that's what we're going to find out about Jalen, if he's that guy that can make the play at the end of the game.
What makes you believe that Philly's got this one?
I feel like going into this game, when you look at it, this is the same team that barely beat the Eagles the last time that they played them. Hasn't a whole lot changed. They've gotten a little bit more mature, a little bit longer in the tooth. Mm-hmm. We look at this Eagles team, they're a younger team. Their defense is much better than the defense you faced before. The offense is dynamic with Saquon Barkley, Saquon Barkley back there. I tell you, this time of the year, man, to have a sound running game like that, that's the X factor.
Yeah.
And then you have Jalen back there. And you still have those two receivers on the outside that you have. Excuse me, really good corners that can cover them. But
those
now,
hands, man.
Yeah, big mitts.
Yeah.
You have the corners that can cover them.
Right.
But how much are you going to commit to stopping the run? Mm-hmm. Because you're not going to stop the run with the front four. So you're going to have to walk somebody up. And now when you do that, you're having one on one on the perimeter. So there's going to be some opportunities there. But knowing what I know about Spags and the defense they're going to be playing, that sounds easier than said. You know what I mean? It's going to be a good game, and that's what I try to tell Eagles fans. This is going to be one for the books.
What does Nick Sirianni bring to the party? And I don't mean that in a negative way. Like, I look at Nick Sirianni as kind of like the guy who's the head coach and does a great job of just deferring to everybody else, which I think is the best thing a head coach can do.
Yeah. I've always been of the mindset, if anybody, high school, college team wants to coach, I've always said that if I ever became a coach, I have to have a strong defensive coordinator and a strong offensive coordinator and some guys that we can bounce ideas off of, because I think it's important not to always have all the answers and have people around you that you trust, mm-hmm, that can make you better. I think that's what Coach Sirianni is. The best way I can describe Coach Sirianni is a guy that he's a manager of egos. He's a great manager of egos, because you got to think, A.J. Brown, you know, for a lot of people, reading the book on the sideline was a big deal. I didn't think it was a big deal. I looked at it more so as a way to keep him centered and a way to keep him from acting a fool on the sideline. Because we've seen in the past, when things haven't gone his way, he's kind of lashed out and he's been kind of passive-aggressive in the media and everything. This is something that allows him not to be that. And if other people don't understand that and he does, then so be it. I think that's his biggest asset, man. You talk about all these different egos that you have on this Philadelphia Eagles football team. He has done a great job of getting them to buy into what he's selling.
So I want to ask you this, because you're a defensive guy and, you know, you're pretty solid at being able to get around the edge if you played edge. If you want to play up front, you can take somebody down if you want to do that. But when you play a team like Patrick Mahomes, you play an offensive line that's versatile like the Kansas City Chiefs that have been decent all year. I mean, they went 15-2, 15-1.
Yeah.
I don't really count that last game against Denver. How do you attack Patrick Mahomes? I know that's a really good question to ask, because no one's really been able to do it, because he's either mobile or he'll stand back and attack you.
See,
but
that,
how do you attack him?
See, that's the thing. You have to play sound defense. And it's, man, it's It's easier said than done, again, because I think back to last year in the 49ers defense. They had a pretty good game plan for him. And I remember in that game, the one play that you I was talking about when he pulled it down and he ran for like 20 yards. This was late in the game. That's the one mistake that was made that probably cost him the game. Well, it did cost him that game. And that's the thing with Patrick. You almost have to play flawless. And that's hard to do. You can't make any mistakes because if you make a mistake, he capitalized on it. And another thing, I think that he has the ability to run that during the course of the game, a lot of people forget about. And that's the dagger. That is the dagger right there, because Patrick will sit back there and he will try to decipher the defense as much as he can. He'll make these little dink and dunk tough plays. But when the game's on the line and it's time to do some spectacular, magical stuff, that's when he pulls it out and be like, oh, Nikes.
Yeah, it's like how many times have you been like third and four? Damn it. Third and four, two minutes left, he takes off.
That's the beauty of what Patrick Mahomes does. Yeah. And it happens so late in the game. As a defender, you tend to forget that one aspect of his game.
Well, it's interesting because for years I've said now Patrick Mahomes is the best running quarterback that I've ever seen. And people go, oh, Lamar. I'm like, no. Nobody runs with more purpose at a more important time.
It's a backbreaker.
Every time it's a backbreaker.
And that's the thing, man. And that's the – when I think about every play, even in the Eagles game, when it was one play that needed to be made, he made it, and it broke your back. That's why I'll say I got in trouble for this in Philadelphia, because I said defense is a luxury, not a necessity. And when I said that, I got killed for it. But my point was this. You pay your quarterbacks to make those plays. You pay them $3 million, $300 million, and $250 million, because at the end of the day, those are the guys that have to make those plays.
That's right. Let me ask you this. Why does Howie Roseman get so much more credit than Brett Veach?
I would say because he's in Philly. I know Brett.
Yeah.
And Brett was in Philly. And I've seen the job that he's done. But because he's in Philly.
Yeah.
And normally, GMs are the guys that they're seldom seen. Howie's a little bit more visible. Mm-hmm. And that's probably why. But Veach is right there with him. No question about it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you look at what, Chris Jones, the young corners that I was talking about. And he's been with Andy forever. Yeah, Brett, he's right there with him.
How has Andy changed as a coach from when you played for him to where he is now?
Andy's a little bit more laid back, man. I had a chance to see Andy a few months ago. And he's just different, man. Andy drives a T-Rex. And I know that might not sound like a lot to a whole lot of people. But Andy was the guy that used to be running around in a SUV, a Suburban. So I was like, when I saw him, I was like, Big Red, what the hell are you doing? What is this? He was like, Hugh, it's so fast. You have to ride in it. And I'm looking at him, and I just started laughing. Because that's – when he was my coach, Andy was kind of uptight, a little uptight. And then he's just relaxed now, man. And I think that's why the players love him, because he's relatable. He was relatable with us, but it was more from a standoff kind of position. But as the game evolved, he has to evolve, and you can see that he's a lot different with his players now than he was. I mean, love Coach. He's a good dude.
Before we get you out of here, we are talking to Hugh Douglas, former Philadelphia Eagles defensive lineman, and all our guests are brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of your Kansas City Chiefs. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy, drink responsibly. Give us the Andy Reid story that never goes away.
What you mean? Andy Reid?
Any type of Andy Reid story, what do you
all
have
right,
for
then us? I remember when Andy was this was his first couple practices, right? So he didn't tell us what we were doing. So I'm sitting in the huddle, and I'm pissed. Because I don't like Andy's practicing us to death and all this other stuff. And I said it loud enough for him to hear it. I said, man, this guy don't know what the hell he's doing. And he said, shut up, quit your bitching. Don't you know you're getting better? And I was like, wow, he's right. Because he was instilling us that he was trying to figure out who he could count on Sunday. So that's what he was trying to figure out. And ever since he did that, that's one of the stories. And I remember one time, Andy never wanted to ride the bus with me because I was too loud. And one time when I did, I didn't have a great game because he wouldn't let me be loud. He said, hey, next time you want, you can yell and scream all you want. Just don't get on the same bus that I'm on.
That's awesome, man. We appreciate the time. Enjoy the Super Bowl, man. I appreciate
did,
you.
Fellas.
Take care.
Thank you. Have a good one, brother. Oh, yeah,
all
handshake.
Right, yes, sir.
All right.
Break his
y'all
hand.
Just my hands.
Don't you? Hugh Douglas there. Thanks for dropping by. All our guests are brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Kansas City is gearing up for their third straight title, and Academy Sports and Outdoors has everything you need to rep your team during their historic run. We go from big hands, Hugh, to, well, normal-sized hands, Briscoe, on the other side. Here on 96.5 The Band, your home for Kansas City sports.
E-L-G-S-E-S, Eagles!